Good morning. My name is Kieran O'Donnell, and you're welcome to the first edition of Business Matters. In today's programme, opening up after locking down, we speak to Letterkenny hotelier Terry McAniff about getting his business up and running again after 15 weeks of closure. And a view from stateside, we talk with Letterkenny native Sean McEwen, a senior executive in the pharmaceutical industry currently based in Chicago. Terry McAniff. Terry, good morning. Owner of the Mount Airdrie Hotel. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Good morning, Kieran. Yeah, thank you for hosting me. It's an honour to be asked to partake in your first show.
Happy to be back in operation again, Terry, after a long closure.
Very happy, Kieran. Yeah. I was very, very apprehensive up until yesterday, but I mean, we're 24 hours into it now, and I'd have to say I'm very, very happy. People are understanding of the restrictions, and at the same time, it's trying to get the balance right to give them a leisurely break. But so far, so good, and please God, it'll continue. But very happy with reaction, very happy with bookings to date and future bookings coming in.
Okay. I suppose, to go back to the start of the pandemic outbreak, Terry, back in the middle of March, and I suppose the decision of having to close, what were your thoughts back then?
It happened so quickly, Kieran. Like, I mean, it really took off in Ireland in about a week, as it has done in a lot of other countries. I mean, I was very, very pessimistic. We closed down on the 16th of March. I think we made a decision to close early, even before the government brought in the restrictions on hotels, bars, restaurants. We had decided to close because we had decided that people will vote with their feet. And number one, probably the business wouldn't be there. But number two, I would have felt uneasy with staff working. But closing initially, I suppose we were totally unknown. Probably I would have expected to be open maybe at the beginning of May again. But then if I go forward 2 weeks and go to the end of March, beginning of April, there was a stage I thought we probably wouldn't be open until next Easter. But I think the general public really rallied in behind it. I mean, they behaved very, very, very responsibly, and credit to the Irish people. I mean, they all wore the jersey. They did really well. The older people cocooned, and I know it was very, very difficult for them. I mean, we all have older relations, and we saw how lonely they were. But, I mean, young people, old people, everybody rallied in, and hence we're back in operation since yesterday. And hopefully restrictions will lighten up again as people behave responsibly.
Yeah. Just in terms of the mood around the hotel, Terry, yesterday, obviously both for staff and customers coming on, and obviously people staying overnight. How was that?
I was actually surprised, that's what I'm saying, Kieran, how relaxed it is. But I suppose to give you an idea of where we're at here, we have actually 32 hand sanitising stations in the hotel, you know, which is a huge amount because, I mean, we're not that big a building. Yeah. But, I mean, we encourage people to wash their hands. I mean, the two big things really are hand washing and social distancing with staff and customers. I mean, we have notices up, as I say, with the hand sanitising stations. We have staff, every member of staff has gone on a course online and had to get 90% plus in an exam before they could come back. So, I mean, every member of staff is fully aware of obligations under this, and I think they have really responded well. I mean, a credit to my staff, and I'm sure the staff of all businesses locally, because, I mean, we all experienced the staff of supermarkets and food outlets and other places during the lockdown. And, I mean, the staff really have bought into it. As I say, the general public, just the Irish people have bought into it. And my staff, yes, have been a huge credit, and I'm very, very proud of the way they've operated so far.
And just in terms of business trade, Terry, I know it's early doors yet. Last night was your first night for overnight stays. Happy with how things are so far?
Well, very happy with how things are so far. But, Kieran, if I rewind the clock probably to the 29th of June last year, the last Monday of June last year, there probably would have been 8 to 10 coaches in Letterkenny, at least, I would say, maybe more, which is at least 500 overseas visitors. Unfortunately, that void is there, and the challenge is to try and fill it as best you can. Now, last night for our first night was very, very good. Obviously, people, as the process goes on, people will get more confidence in going away, and we'll see that hotels are hopefully safe environments. because, I mean, there's responsibility in us as hoteliers to create a safe environment. As I said, it's just to get the balance right between between holiday and safe environment. So, I mean, I would be very, very hopeful. I mean, the busiest week of the year is coming up now in 2 weeks' time, or less than 2 weeks, the 12th of July week. And then we're right bang in until the middle of August. And I hopefully that the home market will respond. I mean, Donegal has always, more so than the rest of the country, been dependent on the home market. But, I mean, there's a lot of voids to fill. Another void to fill probably is the wedding void, because Donegal, again, is unique in that, Kieran, in that I would say that we do the most weddings per size of hotel, or whatever way you want to put it, in Ireland. I mean, Donegal gets a huge amount of weddings from Tyrone Derry, as well as the local weddings from Donegal. And, I mean, I would say at least maybe 60-70% of the hotels in Donegal, weddings are a crucial part of the market. And unfortunately, that can't be replaced, Kieran, because there are the restrictions are so tight. But hopefully, as time goes on, I mean, the government will lift the restrictions and even look at hotels with bigger function rooms and link a wedding to a hotel capacity, which is something that you know, I am campaigning for myself at the minute. And I think it's only fair. I mean, big rooms can cater for weddings quite comfortably with social distancing in place.
Yeah, how confident are you, Terry, that those restrictions may ease in terms of maybe allowing somewhat bigger size weddings?
Well, if numbers go down, I'm very confident. I suppose me calling for it in weddings, I'm not alone. I saw the Archbishop of Dublin calling for the same treatment in churches, that they'd be linked to capacity. He was interviewed at the Pro Cathedral, which at that time had a capacity of 20, Kieran, and I'm sure you've been in the Pro Cathedral, as we all have been ourselves. I mean, I'm sure on a good day you could have seen 2,000 and 3,000 people at Mass there. So, I mean, I'm fairly confident that they will. But, I mean, it all depends on the spread of the virus, which depends on a lot of things, Kieran. You know, you talk about international travel. There's an awful lot of people dependent on international travel. They're waiting for that to open up. But inevitably, when that opens up, there will be a second wave. How high the second wave goes, I don't know. But obviously there will be some little blip in the numbers. But I mean, we're all we all have our own agendas to campaign for, and they're all linked together, Kieran.
Yeah. Just going back to something you said there, Terry, about the cross-border trade. Obviously that's a big aspect to your business and across the whole tourism sector in Donegal.
Oh, it is, of course, Kieran. And, you know, to speak about last night and to speak about going forward, I mentioned the 12th week. I mean, I would expect that 80% of our trade will come probably cross-border. I mean, it had we had increased our share in the 26 southern counties over the last number of years. But obviously now Westport, Killarney, they're all going to be vying for that market along with us, because, you know, while we get an element of international tourism, you know, as everybody knows, I mean, once you go north of Dublin, Galway, that the international tourists become lesser and lesser. And, you know, once you go north of Westport, it's even less again. And they have lost all of that. So they're going to be vying for the home market, which we were vying for. So, I mean, the northern market then becomes much, much, much more crucial to Donegal. But, I mean, there's a tradition there, Kieran. And, you know, to be critical of one thing that happened during the lockdown, you know, I heard at times, you know, where people were coming out against people from the north coming over here. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do agree that there should have been some cut down, but you know, I don't think that that people should have been as scathing as they were, and people from the six counties. I mean, they have been the bread and butter of tourism in Donegal, and please God will continue to be. But Kieran, I was reared in Bundoran, and it was totally dependent on the northern market, mm-hmm. and as is the whole county. And I think that we all have to be cognizant of that.
Okay. Just in relation to Bundoran, Terry, what are reports like down there as the restrictions ease and we enter into phase three in the reopening?
Yeah, Kieran, the hotels are all open there this week, and I think that they're quite positive so far. You know, the first few weeks is good. The report from Bundoran, I suppose, is they're different to Letterkenny in that they have a huge self-catering base, and I believe the self-catering base has been booked out for the last month. So people obviously feel very, very safe in a self-catering environment. I mean, the hotels are trying to create the same atmosphere now, and as I said earlier, they are trying to get the confidence of people that hotels are a safe environment to visit.
The Donegal Tourism Recovery Task Force has been established recently, Terry. and the tourism sector, worth an estimate of €250 million the local economy annually. I suppose, how effective do you think that task force can be?
Kieran, just before I talk about the Donegal Tourism Task Force, it's another little issue I have. I suppose just a topical thing at the minute is the current cabinet, Kieran. And I know you probably would have asked me about that later. But I mean, I think it's an absolute disgrace that there's no minister north of Kerry on the west coast. I mean, I suppose we have been spoiled since 1997 in that we've always had a senior minister at cabinet. We had Jim McDade, followed by Mary Coughlan, who went on to be Taoiseach, and followed by Joe McHugh. And, you know, in the same breath, I would like to say Joe McHugh has really delivered for Donegal, and we have become spoilt with Joe and even with Mary and James over the last number of years. But Joe has delivered in the education sector and indeed in Gaeltacht areas and several sectors in Donegal, and he's going to be a huge loss, and it makes it all the more acute. But, I mean, it's a massive loss to us up here that we don't have a minister. And, you know, on that, you know, I talk about the tourism front here. I'm going to come to the task force in a minute, by the way, if you'll understand where I'm coming from. But in the tourism front, we have a new minister, Catherine Martin, who I'm sure is a very, very able lady. But my problem with that is where we had a senior minister for tourism, and indeed Jim McDade was minister for tourism and sport, as was Shane Ross in the last government. We now have a minister, Martin, and she's minister for media, tourism, arts, culture, sports, and Gaeltacht. I mean, if that's not a downgrading of the tourism portfolio, I don't know, Kieran. You know, having tourism and sports, Gaeltacht at one time had their own department, and I mean, media was a major part of communications, as you know, and we really have three ministries lumped into one with Catherine Martin in charge. And, you know, I don't think it's fair on her either, but it's definitely not fair in the tourism sector at this stage. But to come where I'm coming from, Kieran, the last minister appointed a national tourism task force. Mm-hmm. And to go back to the geography again, north of Dublin-Galway, a line of Dublin-Galway, there is nobody in that task force. Okay. Absolutely nobody, which is unbelievable, Kieran, with Brexit around the corner, with us or the border region, should I say, which is included in the north line of Dublin-Galway. We have nobody in the border region or in the whole northwest of Ireland or Mayo on that task force, which I think, Kieran, is just a scandal, at least as big a scandal as the cabinet. But yeah, the Donegal Tourism Task Force, Kieran, I welcome that. And probably the difference in that and the National Task Force is, I look at the National Tourism Task Force and I see just two people who are involved directly in the trade. There's a director of a hotel in Limerick and a general manager of a brasserie in Galway City. But if I look at the Donegal Tourism Task Force, Kieran, it's 90% trade, which I welcome. I think the Donegal Tourism Task Force, because of the membership, will be very, very effective. We've had one meeting already, Kieran, and we've come up with our recommendations. And as I said to you earlier, Donegal is a unique county. Yeah. It's unique in that, Kieran, the only land border we have with Southern Ireland is just coming in there at Bundoran, you know, which is very, very small. So it's a unique county that way. It's unique with our dependence on weddings. You know, if I look at another one, probably the active retirement groups, Kieran, were the biggest in Ireland. That market's gone this year. It's absolutely gone. I mean, the active retirement people have told their groups not to travel, and that's a huge part of Donegal business. But the Tourism Task Force in Donegal, hopefully, will be listened to, Kieran, because there's no point in having us as a talking shop. We'll have to be listened to. But it's a very, very good task force, and I was very impressed with the first meeting.
Okay. So, very finally, Terry, the biggest challenges most facing your sector, you know, as you enter a new phase, and obviously there's a very good feel-good factor out there at the minute, and you'll be hoping that will obviously continue and will be built upon.
Yeah, there's a good feel-good factor, Kieran, sure. Yeah, there. You know, when we close down, or you know, if I rewind the clock 12 months ago, as I said, we were growing our home market all the time. I mean, the Wild Atlantic Way was brilliant for Donegal, Kieran, there's no doubt about it, and it has increased the international tourism into Donegal. There is a good feel-good factor there, but Kieran, unfortunately, we're reopening, and you know, I am lucky to be reopened, I suppose, in Letterkenny. We have a big town, and you know, but I know that there's at least, I could name five hotels in Donegal, and you know, substantial size hotels, Kieran, which are not reopening this year. That's a serious concern, Kieran. You know, I know there was a feel-good factor last year, but there isn't anymore. there really isn't in the hotel business. There really is a fear factor still, Kieran, because come the end of August and the National Wage Subsidy Scheme goes, unless the government replaces that very effectively with something else, and maybe there'll be other measures needed, Kieran, there'll be carnage in the hotel industry in this county. There'll be absolute carnage, Kieran, because traditionally Donegal, they got their cash flow going in July, August, and this year they're going to struggle. But I mean, unless that there's some government support from September on, Kieran, it's going to be a major struggle for the hotel industry in this county.
Okay. I take it that the task force will have that at the top of their agenda, Terry, and be hopeful for maybe for a positive outcome in terms of help and support.
Definitely, Kieran. Definitely have that. And I mean, Donegal has so much to offer, really. The key things that came out of the task force so far is the National Wage Subsidy Scheme would have to be extended. As I said earlier, extension of capacity of weddings. But I mean, another major thing in Donegal are sporting events, Kieran. I know you're a great, great sportsman yourself, and you've been involved in the Athletics Club and St. Eunan's, and indeed Letterkenny Rovers. And you know, you're a great sports person yourself, and I know that your three children play sports because they're the same age group as my own. But Kieran, sports has been a great attraction to Donegal. I mean, the events that have been created. If you take over the last few years, with the 555, which thank God is one of the few to have survived it, and credit to the organisers of that, Kieran, for going ahead with it. And I'm quite certain that, you know, they will run it responsibly because they're very, very experienced sports people themselves. But if you look at other events, one cycling event that comes off the top of my head is over the August weekend, Kieran, there was a major junior underage cycling event based in Letterkenny that went around the county. Kieran, it was a massive attraction. Yeah. You have all these triathlons that take place in Donegal. I mean, Donegal is a natural habitat for these sporting events, and we've lost all of them this year too. And I mean, the task force also will be trying to get them reactivated again.
Okay. Listen, Terry, great to hear your views. Best of luck for the rest of the season, and we'll talk to you shortly.
Thank you very much, Kieran. Thank you.
That was Terry McInniff, owner of the Mount Airigo Hotel, talking about reopening after 100 days of closure due to the pandemic. Next up is Sean McEwen, an executive working in the pharmaceutical industry, based in Chicago and Illinois for the last 2 years. And Sean charts his journey from Letterkenny to America. How are things in sunny Chicago, Sean?
It's all good. Kieran, as you said, I've been out here now for nearly 2 years. Relocated here in August of 2018. And so only thing I can say about Chicago, Kieran, is that the summers are an order of magnitude better than the winters.
I suppose just chart your journey from here to there, Sean.
Yeah, Kieran, I've been working in the pharmaceutical sector for about 24 years. And you know, I've worked always with US companies, and as I said earlier, about 2 years ago, I got another opportunity to relocate back out here to headquarters in the Chicagoland area. This is my second time in the U.S. Jacinta and I relocated here to the Boston area in 2007 for another role in the company. And then about 2 years ago, you know, I was approached about coming back out here, and it's been a very positive experience. So Jacinta and myself and the three boys, we've got three boys under 10 years of age relocated here. And it's been a very positive experience. And, you know, obviously the last 3.5 months, Kieran, have been very, very different with COVID. I think it's really challenged how we do business, and it's really challenged how we do home life, and you know, and so the experience has been positive, but I think it's been like every other family around, whether it be in Ireland or in the US, it's been challenging balancing the day to day busyness of a global role, along with working from home and obviously homeschooling three kids. And Jacinta, you know, all credit to her, took the lion's share of the heavy lifting.
Right.
It's been interesting.
Yeah. How has it been to sort of get the work-life balance between homeschooling and working from home, Sean? Big change, I'm sure.
Yeah, a big change, Kieran. And I think, you know, what I would say about COVID, what it did was it really challenged everybody to think differently about how they could maintain productivity at work using technology and then getting your day balanced. And so, you know, with a global role, Kieran, there's a lot of early mornings when you're connecting with Europe and Asia. And then it can go in late into the evening if you're working with the West Coast of the US. So definitely been a balance. But I think, Kieran, look, it's I see myself as incredibly fortunate to have had the support of Jacinta, who basically took three boys under 10 years of age. And you can imagine the energy that brings in a house and homeschooling them in the schools of Illinois. Shut down around the 10th of March, and so from the 10th of March up until the start of June, it basically meant homeschooling. And I think, again, credit to the schools and from being in touch from people from home, it was the exact same. Schools got their act together, they were organised with technology, and so it's amazing how people adapt, Kieran, how families adapt and how we adapted to the basically the quarantine life. But it worked out really well, I have to say.
Just, I suppose, in terms of businesses have been reinventing themselves here, and I'm sure it's the same in the other side of the Atlantic, Sean.
Yeah, Kieran, I mean it's really interesting. The parallels are interesting. I mean, if I look at, say, the state of Illinois, Governor Pritzker, who is the governor of the state, was very quick to lock down. And what you find with the US, Kieran, is that each individual state kind of determines how they lock down and how they open up and how they support businesses. And so you'll get a significant amount of kind of diversity within the United States operating with kind of a broad federal framework. And so it's been tough on businesses, Kieran. We live in a suburb about 25 miles north of the city. It's a town called Lake Forest. It's a real bustling commuter town on the lake. And so it's interesting for a city the size of Chicago, there's a lot of communities within the city that are full of small, medium enterprises. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they were really challenged by having to basically shut their doors. And I really feel for that business sector, Kieran. I mean, coming from Letterkenny and even working in our own family business, McEwen's, working for my brother many years ago, I mean, the small, medium enterprise sector is the lifeblood of the community. And so I really felt for those businesses, even here in Chicago, that needed to shut down. And so it's kind of encouraging to see how they're opening up again, Kieran. I mean, we're now on phase four in Illinois, phase four of five. I mean, the COVID rates around the United States are obviously spiking in certain states. Illinois, fortunately, is actually managing it pretty well. And so you're starting to see businesses open up again. You're really starting to see businesses reinvent themselves. And I find that amazing how they're using social media, how they're using technology, and then more importantly, how they're prioritizing the safety of their customers. And so if you walk into a local restaurant here, I was out and about at the weekend, you know, the internal capacity of the restaurant is significantly down. Everything is more or less outdoors. And so fortunately, if you have the weather like you have here in the early summer, in particular, you can do that. And so I do see some businesses trying to actually be very creative and trying to get that capacity back up and running. But it's got to be very difficult, Kieran, because overheads still need to be paid. Fixed overheads are there. They're not going away. And so I really see that, you know, strong determination here as well to try and get back up into some semblance of normality and get people back out to work. Yeah.
I know you have more than a passing interest on things back at home here in Letterkenny and Donegal. You were telling me earlier in the week that you're keeping an eye on some of your old establishments that you used to frequent now and again.
Yes, indeed, Kieran. I mean, I mean, full disclosure, I'm still very friendly with a lot of people in Letterkenny. I think Letterkenny is a place that you check out from, but you never leave. So, I mean, I've been watching with interest how Kevin Blake has reinvented Blake's in general, and I think it's incredible. I know he opened up yesterday. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I was talking to Joe over the weekend, and he was telling me what they were doing inside and what they were doing outside, and serving food and so on. But you know, I think that for me, Kieran represents everything what is good about Letterkenny and Donegal, and that, you know, we will. There's a problem. We have to find a solution and find a way. So, you know, kudos to Kevin for doing that and kind of reinventing the business model of the bar. But more importantly, I would say, I know a lot of businesses around the town are doing something similar, Kieran. And I know you had Terry on earlier on. And I think it's really important that businesses do try and get back up and running safely. But I would caution as well, Kieran, I mean, COVID's not gone away. And, you know, we said as a family unit, the one thing we were going to do when this whole thing kicked off is that we were going to listen to people that knew more than we did. And so I think balancing the kind of public health advice and then being able to integrate those parameters and integrate those guidelines into opening back up the business is critically important. And I wish all those small, medium enterprises in Letterkenny the very best luck as they're starting to get back up and running again, because, you know, it's really important to the town and to the community and to the broader Donegal that, you know, that Letterkenny is working, because I know how important it is to the Northwest in general.
Yeah. Just, you mentioned there about the family business and the Kieran Electrical. I suppose it's not today or yesterday, but in terms of technology, I suppose the fact that we're talking about technology and how it actually makes the world a much smaller place. You enjoyed your time back there in your younger days?
I did, Kieran. I mean, it was good to have a job. Growing up in the summers, I used to work in the Four Lanterns, and I used to work in Kewins, and I'm still very friendly with the Grimeses. I mean, Frank Grimes, God rest him, gave me my first job, and Seamus McEwen gave me my second job. In fact, I had two jobs going at the same time, and, you know, playing football and so on. No, but I think, yeah, I looking back now, I always had an interest in technology, even though I'm a chemical engineer by training, and you know, I think that definitely grounded and consolidated my interest. And, you know, I think that the one positive thing, if there is a positive thing to come out of COVID, Kieran, is that I think we're all more connected now than we ever were. I mean, there's people that I haven't talked to properly in years that I have been able to connect with through technology. My own mother, Mina McEwen, is become a real, what I would call subject matter experts in technology. And so, you know, just a personal anecdote, I could be on a global meeting here talking to somebody from Asia early in the morning on a WebEx or a Zoom call, and my mother just lands in front of me on a screen wanting to connect. So it's really, really refreshing to see that, the way that we've all connected and so on. And I think with people, older people in general, Kieran, I think technology has been super important to connecting families that unfortunately couldn't get home, and with travel restrictions and so on, that's the way it is. And so, yeah, a lot of that kind of would have come from my time in McEwen's and so on. But I think everybody across the globe has exploited technology to the betterment and been able to stay connected during COVID. I think it's going to be very important that that's deployed ongoing as well. I think there's a lot of real positive lessons learned, real nuggets of best practice that businesses can use going into the future in terms of how they use technology, how they communicate with each other, enabling people to work at home who have, you know, kids, work-life balance challenges and so on. So technology has opened up, I think, and unlocked a significant amount of productivity within people that they never knew they had.
Yeah, I suppose finally, in terms of the whole moving from maybe office-based to home-based, that's a new part of society that we'll be getting used to from now on.
I think so, Kieran. I think it's been one of the behavioural shifts that we're all going to have to adapt to, is that, you know, until there's a vaccine, you know, things are going to have to be different. We're going to have to change our behaviours in terms of how we do business, how we interact with each other, how we do sport. I mean, you and I talk a lot about sport. You know how passionate I am about it. I mean, even opening up back up the GAA and soccer and rugby, and how the championship's going to get going in Donegal. I think it's going to change fundamentally how we do everything. And it's going to take a lot of planning. I think that's one of the key takeaways for me in the whole thing is that, you know, spontaneity is going to be very difficult now. You're going to have to plan everything. You're going to have to use technology. You're going to have to use documentation. You're going to have to listen to the best practices that are out there for things to get back to normal.
Okay. Listen, Sean, it's been great to get your views. Wish you a safe journey when you're coming home, maybe later in the year. And thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thanks, Ciarán. Good to talk to you.
My thanks to guests Terry McGinniff and Sean McEwen. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson and Ashton Kelly on sound. And thanks to you for listening.
That was Business Matters with Ciarán O'Donnell, a Highland Radio production.